Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Shawshank Redemption is a movie that came out back in 1994. If you haven't seen it, you really should. It's worthwhile seeing. When it came out in 94, though, it was a box office bust. But since then has become one of the most popular movies on cable TV. Kind of like A Wonderful Life. That was a box office bust as well. That is now become very, very popular. Although Shawshank Redemption you can see year-round, not just at Christmas time like It's a Wonderful Life. Shawshank Redemption stars Morgan Freeman as a character named Red, and Tim Robbins as a character named Andy Dufresne. They are inmates at a prison in the state of Maine. Most people there with life terms for murder and things like that. Story starts in about 1947 and carries through at least two more decades in time. When Andy Dufresne first comes into the prison, having been murdered or convicted of murdering his wife and another person, he meets Red, who is a longtime character there, and he's explained to him how he didn't kill his wife. And one of the famous lines is Red saying to Andy, "Everybody in here is innocent." I think the start of imprisonment, people always are in denial. After a while, though, prison life, decade after decade, it gets to be all that they know. In fact, they start to become fearful of life outside of the prison. Kind of similar to things that we find in abused wives and sometimes who grieve. People are afraid to move forward. Brooks is another character who had been in there for decades, who then gets released from prison. And he finds himself then bagging groceries in a small grocery store and living in a boarding house and living in constant fear. Finally, we see Brooks climbing onto a chair and carving in the pillar at the top of the room, "Brooks was here," before he hangs himself in despair. Sometime later, Red finds himself in exactly the same situation, being released from prison after decades there, bagging groceries in the same grocery store, living in not only the same boarding hotel, but the same room, and every day seeing up there Brooks was here and knowing full well Brooks' story. One day we see Red climbing onto a chair and carving next to "Brooks was here, so was Red." But something had changed between the two of them being there, and that was that Andy Dufresne had escaped from prison and was living a free life now, and he had sent an invitation to Red to join him. So the next scene after we see Red carving his name up there in that wooden beam, we see him riding on a bus to Mexico on his way to live that free life. Brooks and Red, virtually the same story, the same situation, but very different outcomes. One ends in despair, the other freedom. One, you might say, cursed, and the other blessed. In a very limited but I believe helpful way, Andy Dufresne is a Christ figure for Red, because he provides for Red's redemption. Today, our Lord Jesus comes and stands in our midst and says to you and me, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." You know, we can be poor in many different ways. Yes, we can be poor financially with the things we own like that, but we also can have poor health, poor attitude, poor spirit. Brooks and Red were both poor, but one lived in hope and the other one died in despair. What about you? Where lies your poverty this day? In your poverty, are you living in hope? Or are you dying in despair? As Brooks had carved in that beam, that Brooks was here, so in your heart there is a carving that says, I am here. And what does it say about your location, your situation, your poverty? In a few minutes in our confession, we'll join together, each one of us saying, I, a poor, miserable sinner. What particular part of your poverty stymies you this day? What is holding you back? What is taking you in a direction toward despair? You know, on the day of your baptism, there was another carving added to your heart. It now just says, I am here, but it also says, Jesus is here. And with Jesus, there's hope. With Jesus, there's redemption. He became poor to rescue us. He became poor to set you and me free. Thus, he is here right now sharing in your poverty and mine, whether that is a poverty of health or poverty of attitude or finances. You see, he is here participating in every facet of our lives. And in his sharing, in his participation, he lifts us up. He blesses you with the kingdom of God. What Red experienced in Mexico is yours right here and now. As I was telling the children, I think the best definition of the word blessed is to be lifted up. In our poverty, Christ Jesus lifts us up, setting us free from its slavery, from its despair, filling us with hope, and empowering us to move forward in joy. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. For what do you hunger? Your youth? Recognition? Wealth, happiness, perhaps you hunger for a second chance, for more time. Perhaps you hunger, you know, where are you right now? And what kind of hunger is carved in your heart? I am here hungering for, you fill in the blank. Is that hunger something that's holding you back or something that's helping you to move forward? And what does it mean to you when Jesus said, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied? Oh, and what do you think about that next line? Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. You know, I think this can be the scariest beatitude of them all for many people. We lose a loved one, and we feel we'll dishonor them if we laugh again. We weep for our loss, which is real and painful, so well we should. Death, after all, is our enemy. But then in our fear, we increase our pain and resist our Redeemer. Yet Christ is here right now saying to you and to me, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And with these words, he is lifting us up from our pain, from our sorrow, and turning your hunger and mine, our sorrow, into blessing. Reminding you that next to your words, I am here, so are his words, so is Jesus. As he hungered in the desert, so now he hungers with you in your hunger. As he wept outside the tomb of Lazarus' grave, so he weeps with you and me. And as he stands with us, he blesses you. He's lifting you up, carrying you forward, satisfying your hunger with his goodness, assuring you that the best way to honor those loved ones is to laugh and to live in God's kingdom, to love and serve those around you, always filled with the sure and certain hope of the resurrection on the last day. Imprisonment always starts with denial. And how many of us end up getting stuck right there? We say, I know where I am and I'm fine. Or we complain about where we are but refuse to be moved. In reality, most often we're stymied by our own fear. We get so caught up with where we are that we don't even consider what Jesus is offering, how he is seeking to lift us up and bless us and carry us forward. Notice, please, those first three words in each of these Beatitudes. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Not talking about the past, not talking about the future, talking about the present. You are blessed now. For Jesus is with you, lifting you up, carrying you forward in his grace, assuring you of his grand and glorious future, while also changing your view of the present. Rejoice and be glad. Ours is the kingdom of God. Again, present tense. Ours is the kingdom of God now. Brothers and sisters, you are blessed in your poverty. You are blessed in your hunger. You are blessed in your weeping. Jesus is here. And he is with you now, lifting you up in your present circumstances, and will continue to do so tomorrow and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the Lord bless you this day and carry you in his grace forever. Amen.